Philippians chapter 4, we're in verse 10 down through verse number 14 today. Let's begin reading in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done, that you did communicate with my affliction. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this time that we have to study your word, Father. Lord, we ask right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll touch our hearts through the words that we read and that we think over here. Help us as we're conformed to the image of Christ. Thank you for this wonderful music and ceremonies and reading that we've had all day as we've worshiped you. Pray that you'll bless this time now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. During the month of November, of course, we're going to focus on Thanksgiving and being thankful. And being thankful not just on Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful for turkey, and I'm thankful for pumpkin pie, and I know you are as well. But we should be thankful every day. For the believer, every day really is Thanksgiving Day. And as Paul writes, what are his concluding remarks here in the letter to the Philippians? He gives several areas of thankfulness. I want you to notice with me today that Paul is thankful in any situation. Now we would have to ask, well, how can this be? How can Paul is waiting in jail to be executed. How can he be thankful in that situation? How can he? But in spite of his situation, he still exhibits thankfulness. We would say first that Paul is thankful in any situation, and this will sound redundant, but it's because he is thankful. He's thankful in any situation because he is truly a person who just has a thankful heart. In verse number 10, we read that Paul appreciated their help. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, he said, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul says he rejoiced, but not only does he rejoices greatly because of their care for him. This church in Philippi had sent gifts to him, they had cared for him, they'd sent help unto him. And he said, I'm rejoicing in the Lord because of this. But more than that, he says, I'm rejoicing greatly because of this. Amen? That's kind of one of those greater than or equal to kind of things, you know, or greater than or less than. Did y'all learn about the alligator mouth and math? You know, whichever one the alligator's eating is the bigger one. That's what I learned. That's how I learned math. And Paul's saying here, I'm not just rejoicing a little bit. I'm greatly rejoicing because you care of me. And then he says of their care of him, he said, it has flourished. The only thing that flourishes in my life, I think, are maybe the weeds in my flower beds, right? Those things flourish. I tried to flourish a garden spot out here today, this year. I don't think we did. We get the first bit of fruit out of our garden down there? My garden, I'm sorry. Your garden did great. My garden didn't do so well. I saw those eyes. But Paul says, your care of me has flourished. He's in a place of being able to do very little for himself. But this church had taken good care of him. From 2 Corinthians 8, we can also read of another instance where this churches and other churches in their areas had already been involved in providing financial care for Paul, but now they've sent another gift, and they've also sent Epaphroditus to deliver the gift to help Paul while he's there. And then Paul is able to use Epaphroditus to deliver this letter back to that church there in Philippi. And Paul's very thankful, and he rightly should be. They've been very helpful. In spite of his situation, he says, there is reason for me to give thanks. He has financial support. Boy, aren't you glad for a job? Aren't you glad for financial support? Aren't you glad for whatever means it is that you have? It might be a retirement account or a pension or a job or whatever it is that gives you the financial support that you need. I don't know if you're like me, but I just like to spend a little money every now and then, and I get my little allowance from the paycheck and I put it in my pocket, and I get little things like $7 ties. I love TJ Maxx. I've never lived this close to a TJ Maxx before. Men, just cut me some slack here, okay? You guys shop as well. But I wear a lot of ties, and TJ Maxx marks them down to $7.99 sometimes, sometimes even cheaper. And I can take my spending money every week and go into TJ Maxx and get myself a tie. It's just wonderful. And I'm thankful for financial support, and I'm sure you are as well. And Paul writes here, and while we don't like to bring up money, and we don't like to talk about money, and especially we don't want to bring it out in the Bible, but that's what he's writing about. These people had sent him money, and he needed some money. They had done this twice. Paul said that they were such caring people that they wanted to do more, and the opportunity just not had not presented itself for them to be able to do what they wanted to. Well, that's great. And Paul's thankful for this. He's thankful for this financial support. He's thankful for people who care enough to give it. But don't be mistaken. Paul's not just thankful because he's at a time of need. Now, we have a saying here in our culture, and you all know it very well, a friend in need is a friend indeed. That's right. I've called some of you before, and I'll call you up and I'll say, I'm calling as a friend indeed. And you know what that means? That means I'm a friend in need. And I called you up because I needed something today. And usually the person at the other end of the phone, what do you mean you're a friend indeed? Well, I need something from you. A friend in need is a friend indeed. But Paul is saying here that I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what you've done for me. But Paul was thankful, period. In jail, out of jail. With your offering, without your offering. With your help, without your help. Paul says, I'm just thankful. He's made it clear to us as we've read through the book of Philippians here that his joy comes not from their gifts, not from their friendship. All of those as well, but mainly his joy comes from the Lord. And I would say shame on us if we ever get to the place of only being thankful when a gift is given to us. Second, we see that Paul was content in his circumstance. He was someone who was just thankful all the time, but verse 11 helps us to understand how. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Think of this question in your mind. Can you really be thankful if you're not content? Think of that. Can you really be thankful if you're not content? It's hard to do, I think. You all have probably, either as a child or have observed a child, who knew it was right to be thankful for the gift that they had been given, like at Christmas or on their birthday. But it wasn't exactly the gift they wanted, but they knew they had to say thanks anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? And so they're, you know, are you excited? Yes, thank you very much. You know, got the gift. But it wasn't really what they wanted. But they were thankful because they had to. But they weren't content with what they got because it wasn't what they wanted. So they really weren't thankful. Y'all seen the Christmas Story movie? The boy wanted the Red Ryder BB gun. Yes, y'all know this. And so there they are at Christmas, and his dad and his mom are in their pajamas, you know, trying to nap on the couch, and the kids are opening the presents, and there's wrapping paper everywhere, and his little brother is saying, ooh, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And they've got all these presents here. And the older boy who wanted the BB gun, he's looking everywhere, and he's opening gifts, and he's happy, but he just can't find his Red Ryder BB gun. And they get done opening all the gifts, and his dad says to him, well, did you get everything you wanted? And he said, I guess. He was thankful, but he wasn't content. And his dad said, well, I think I see one more gift over in the corner. And it was his Red Ryder BB gun. And at that point, he was content because he got everything he wanted. Then he was truly thankful. You see, we can't be truly thankful until we learn to be content. Paul is saying here he is not thankful simply because this was something that he wanted. He wanted nothing because he had learned to be content. We have this toxic mentality in our culture that I can't be content. Amen, Joshua. I wish y'all could see him while I'm up here preaching. He focuses in. The boy, he pays attention better than you guys. That's why I let him testify in the middle of the sermons. But we have this toxic mentality in our culture that we can't be content till we achieve, till we get all the stuff we need, till we get the right amount of money, till we get just the right house, till we get just the right car, just the right job. Then I'll be content. You know what happens? You'll never be content. The wisest man who ever lived said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, I've drank the best drinks. I've eaten the finest meats. I've been with the most beautiful women in all of the world. I've had the greatest houses. I've built the greatest church. I've done everything that I could think to do under the sun. And all of it's vanity. Learn to be content. I'm telling you, today's the best day you're ever going to have in your life. What you're wearing today is the best suit of clothes you're ever going to wear. The car you're driving today is the greatest car in the whole wide world, especially if you got it paid for. Don't go get the one that's not. Just love that one. Or pay off the one you got. The house you're living in, it's not those four walls. It's the memories you're making in that place. Be content with such things as you have. Do you lack contentment? Are your days filled with thoughts of what you don't have and what you could have? I'm bad at that. Plagues me, I think. I'm always thankful for what I do have, but I have aspirations. You know, I'm at that time in my life where if I could just work a little harder, if I could just make another buck, I could have this and this and this, and we could do that and that and that. But we have to be content or we can never be thankful. Be content. Be content in any circumstance. Then you can become one who is ever thankful, which will lead to being like Paul, thankful in any situation. In verse 12, we see that he's flexible. He's thankful, verse 10, 11, and then he's flexible in verse 12. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Paul said he has learned to abound and to be abased in any place or with anything. Whether he's full or whether he's hungry, whether he has plenty or whether he's in need, Paul has learned to adapt. Too many times we can't adapt. Mentally, we must allow ourselves to accept the fact that we will face an array of situations in life. There's going to be sunshiny days, and there's going to be rainy days, and there's going to be cloudy days, and there's going to be windy days. We've got to accept them all, because we've got to live them. There are going to be times with plenty, there's going to be times with little. How many of you lived in times of plenty? Some of you are too asleep to raise your hand. How many of you lived in times of very little? I think we've all seen both. There are going to be times of joy, there are also going to be times of sadness. There's going to be times of ease, but there's also going to be times of struggle. We learned from the preacher in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything under the sun, even a time to live and a time to die. Become flexible. Be able to adapt to your circumstance. Be able to maintain your ability to function no matter what. Paul had learned that things ultimately do not matter. Have you learned this in life? Stuff is just stuff. And if this stuff gets gone, you can get more stuff. There's two instances in my life that have helped me come through that. One was a house fire. When your house burns, many of you have probably been through that or know somebody has. When your house burns, all your stuff is gone. What are you going to do? You just got to go get more stuff. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, we cried a little bit. It was right after Christmas. All of my gifts, all my Christmas presents. I was 11 years old, and all my Christmas was gone. You know, I mean, my parents are thinking, what clothes is he going to wear? And I'm thinking, my Nintendo. I'll go naked if I could just play my Nintendo. Some of you younger people don't know what a Nintendo is, do you? Think like Xbox, PlayStation. That's what it was way back when. Once I had some stuff stolen from me. Oh, it ate me up. Somebody take my stuff? This is my stuff. How can they take my stuff? Y'all ever had stuff stolen from you? You know how it feels? Oh, you know what I learned from that? You can get more stuff. Probably get better stuff than you had before because they took your stuff. The insurance paid for some more. Oh, I was so bitter. I found out they found my stuff. They caught the guy. He had to go to court. I went to court. I sat in the back of that courtroom. I was going to make that man look me in the eyes. You stole my stuff, buddy. You're going to jail now. I came in, and the lawyer and the judge joked a little bit. The guy had done a lot worse stuff than steal my stuff, and they threw my case out of court and put him in jail for something worse than all of that. And I thought, there's no justice in this world. But you know what I finally concluded? Somebody needed my stuff bad enough to steal it. They need it worse than me. Come and get, you can have it. Just don't break my windows. Just help yourself into the house, get the stuff, and leave. Leave me a note. Let me know where it is. You know, it's just things. Things ultimately do not matter in life. But you know what matters? Relationships. Relationships with your family, relationships with your friend, and most importantly, relationships with Jesus Christ. That's what matters in life. Seeing this, Paul was able to avoid being preoccupied with things, with food, with money, with earthly concerns. He's thankful, he's content, he's flexible. And then verse 13 and 14, we see that he's dependent. He can be thankful in any situation because he's dependent. Dependent upon Christ, verse 13. I could do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Only when dependent upon Christ can a person truly be thankful in any situation. You know, this verse is quickly becoming the most popular verse in all the world. I mean, John 3:16 is out there, and then there's Philippians 4:13. You know, it's getting to where you see Philippians 4:13 more like in sports. Athletes, people with signs in stadiums. It used to be John 3:16, now it's in Philippians 4:13. And I appreciate the popularity that these verses get because of athletes. But I want to caution you here this morning that we love to take this verse out of context as a comprehensive statement that there is nothing that we can't do. I can do all things. What did the preacher teach you that all means?
All.
Yeah, the early crowd didn't remember this. You guys, good job. All means all, and that's all that all means. However, we don't need to get away from the word context. All does mean all, but it means all within the context of this passage. What are all the things Paul's talking about here? He's talking about being thankful, being content, being flexible. So we take this verse out of context. This is not a verse of independence. Do whatever we want with God's blessing. No, it's a verse of dependence. I can do whatever I want dependent upon Christ and what He would enable me to do. Think of that quarterback with his eye black, Philippians 4:13 written in it. After the big game, they lost. He's crying. TV cameras put it on his face. You know, he's the front page of the newspaper. Philippians 4:13, tears coming down his eyes. Greatest quarterback ever loses big game. You know, you can imagine the headline there. Now answer this question. Was Christ not powerful enough to let him win, or was the verse taken out of context? The verse was taken out of context. Christ is powerful enough to let whoever win or do whatever they want, whenever they want, according to His will. But we take that out of context. We like to decide what we want the will of God to be and then use verse 13 as blanket insurance to cover us as we take off on this thing that we've just assumed is God's will. Okay, Lord, this is what I think You're going to have me to do. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and here I go. And if I fail, oh, Lord, why did You let me fall? I've claimed Philippians 4:13. I claimed it out of context. In context, Paul could do all things through Christ. What things? All things that Christ gave him strength to do. More than flexing his spiritual muscles and spreading his wings to go out and do his own thing, Paul here is expressing his dependence upon God and the power of Christ to do anything. Think about this. Where is Paul when he is writing what we're reading here? When he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, where is he? He's in jail. Who's he sitting next to? No. Good answer, though. Who's he sitting next to? In jail. He's next to a guard. Probably a great big burly Roman soldier, maybe chained wrist to wrist. I don't know how they had him. So could Paul do anything he wanted to? No. In fact, Paul couldn't do anything if that guard didn't allow it. I mean, Paul couldn't go to the bathroom unless the guard let him. Paul couldn't go out. He couldn't come in unless the guard allowed him to. He couldn't eat. He couldn't drink. He couldn't sleep unless the guard allowed him. Paul couldn't even stand up if the guard was sitting down, and he couldn't sit down if the guard was standing up. So how can he write, I can do all things through Christ? Because he couldn't do all things. He couldn't do anything that he wanted to. But could he do everything God intended him to do? Absolutely. He sat there chained to a guard and wrote half the Bible. God's will for you is to live totally dependent upon Him. God's plan is for you to only be functional within the power of Christ given to you. Thus, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can be thankful. You can be content. You can be flexible. Once you become dependent upon Christ. And then the last thing we see here is in verse number 14, Paul's dependent upon the church. Verse 13, he's dependent upon Christ. Verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. I like to think of verse 14 as the balance for verse 13. Verse 13 is such a good verse. I can get dependent upon Christ, and this is just great, and He's going to enable me to do what He called me to do. By the way, Christ is only going to enable you to do what He wants you to do, not what you want to do. He'll enable you to do His will. He'll enable you to do things that bring glory to God. Verse 14 is our balance here. You see, we can come to a place of feeling so dependent upon Christ that we kind of feel plugged in, and then we feel like we need no other help. But never forget who God works through on this earth. In our day and age, and at the time of Paul's writing, God works through the church. Not this building. You're not going to come down to this building for God to work. Who's the church? You are. You're the church. If you're saved and baptized, you're a believer, you're the church. God works through you upon this earth. Paul says here, I'm dependent upon Christ. I'm dependent upon the church. I'm dependent upon Christ the bride. You see, you can't have Jesus and not have the church. That'd be like telling me, I want, Brother Chance, I need your help with something, but I don't want you to bring your wife. Y'all would never say that. Let's back it up. Miss Shanae, we want you to help us with something, but don't bring Chance. Ugh, he smells sometimes. Would that fly at my house? No. She would say, no way. You don't want him, you can't have me. Or I'd say, no way. You don't want her, you can't. We're in love. Did y'all know this about us? We're deeply in love. I buy her things. We kiss sometimes. We really do. We love each other. You can't. We're inseparable. I mean, that's just, you can't. We're a package deal. You get us together. Amen, honey? Amen. I need backup on that one. That's us in Jesus. He died for you. For anybody to think they could work independently of his bride upon the earth is silliness. Oh, Jesus will smush you if that's what you think. We are the bride of Christ. If he's going to do anything upon earth outside of doing it himself, he's going to do it through the church. My pastor used to say, when you leave the church, you leave me. And I back him up on that. When you leave the church, you leave me. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about these people. You know why I love you guys so much? Because you're the bride of Christ. Are you dependent upon the church? Or are you doing your own thing? I would say to you this morning, share the load. Share the reward. That's what Paul teaches here. He says, the things that you have sent and done and I'm able to do through your giving to me, you all are going to share in the reward of that thing. That's wonderful. Are you dependent? Too many try to work independently. Pride creeps in. And in the end, it ruins whatever good they would have done. Don't be independent. Become dependent. Dependent upon Christ and dependent upon His church. Do you want to be thankful in any situation? You all know that person, don't you? I mean, they're just, a good day, they're happy. A bad day, they're happy. They're steady all the time. No matter what comes, they just keep on keeping on, praising the Lord, reading the Bible, going to church, doing all the right things. And here you are, up and down. You're thinking, how do they stay so steady? I look at Paul and think, man, how did this guy, locked up in jail, continue to write these letters to these churches and be such a help? Following Paul's example, who taught us he's following Christ's example, we learn to become someone who is truly thankful, not just in word, not even just in deed, but in your heart. Somebody who just has a thankful spirit, an attitude of gratitude. Be content with such things as you have. Be flexible no matter what comes at you, and be dependent upon Christ and His church. And this is the place where Christ can most effectively use any of us. Let's stand this morning and have a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Miss Betty's going to play for us. Let's pray together this morning. If you'd like to use the altars, they're here. If you've never been saved, today is a great day to ask Jesus into your heart and become a Christian. But those of you who are Christians today, pray. Ask God to help you to be truly thankful. Father, we thank you for this day and this time that we have here this morning in your word. Help us to become people who are truly thankful. Help us to live our lives pleasing before you, being people who are thankful for your blessings upon us, being content with the things that we have, being flexible no matter what comes our way. Lord, help us to learn to adapt, to trust you, Father. That's what it comes down to, is trusting you. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to be dependent upon you in all that comes. We truly can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But Lord, that's not a verse of independence. It's a verse of dependence. It's all through you and it's all about you. Thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.